Hello, lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Podcast today. For Spiritual Month, here we are in May, exploring the powerful spiritual category. And today we have John Butcher on the line. What's up, man?
Hey, Jordan. Great to be here. Hello, lifebookers. Pleasure to spend this time with you.
Here we are, Spiritual Month. I know you're knee deep in spirituality right now. You're deep Sadhguru exploration. And we are going to pick up kind of right where we left off on that. But also, today's episode is a little bit of story time. I know listeners love this. They love hearing about the inception and origins of Lifebook. We're going to go into the creation of the spiritual category today and kind of how that story and your mentors back then have come full circle now with your new spiritual learnings that are a mile away from where you started. So you want to kind of, where do you want to start this off? I would love to back this up to, again, the creation of the spiritual category and what's changed inside of you since then.
Yeah. Okay. So I've had an incredible epiphany over the last few days, actually, and this category has always given me fits, man. And it's also been incredibly profound for me. So it's really been a mixed bag, but I've had a huge epiphany over the last couple of days, and I'm going to share it here. Here's where I'd like to start, Jordan. My epiphany is about my two mentors, Nathaniel Brandon and Sadhguru. And I want to start by kind of sharing something that I've never really shared with the Lifebook community before. And it's, you know, Nathaniel Brandon, author of, I don't know, 20, 25 books, mainly on the subject of self-esteem. But he was also Ayn Rand's prodigy. Ayn Rand's, basically, he started the Ayn Rand Institute and really spread Ayn Rand's work throughout the world. Ayn, for those of you who don't know, was an author in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, who basically put forth the philosophy of objectivism, which was an atheist, rational, sort of very physical philosophy. And that was the philosophy that I discovered when I was, I guess I was probably 21 when I first read Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. And it just changed my life. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a very, very religious home. And I would say a sort of a toxically religious home. And that does not mean that I think that all religion is toxic. The way Christianity was presented to us in our home was particularly shame-based and toxic. Sure. For reasons that I don't necessarily want to get into right now.
Right.
That was sort of a family thing. And I had to go through some pretty deep soul searching when I was a teenager and in my very early 20s to sort of sort all that out. I read the Bible twice from cover to cover. I read the Quran. I read the Book of Buddha. I started the Book of Mormon and couldn't quite get through that one. But I really, really,
You're
I did
so
a
nice.
Deep.
I have so many Mormon friends.
That's so true. I do. I have so many Mormon friends and I love them. But I couldn't quite get through that one. There were a few that you know, I wasn't quite as taken by as others, but I really, really studied religion. And, you know, after reading Carl Sagan's Cosmos and Atlas Shrugged when I was in my early 20s, I had a major transition because I realized, I mean, look, I was raised in an incredibly irrational household, Jordan. Mm-hmm. Like in my household, there was no like logic and critical thinking and ideas were squashed. And wow. From a philosophical perspective, there was no rhyme or reason to anything. A mailbox could turn into an ice cream cone at the drop of a hat, and snakes could talk. And you know, it was that. Mm-hmm. And when you're a kid, that's some pretty scary stuff because you're in a world where you don't have your feet on the ground.
Wow.
I had to go through a lot to sort of get to the point where where I had my feet on the ground. And what the vehicle that took me there basically was objectivism.
Wow.
Which has it, you know, looking back on it now, there's some serious, serious problems with it. But back then, it was what I needed to understand that the universe is actually a knowable place that mm-hmm. operates under certain laws that we can discover and understand that are consistent, and that we can actually get a grip on this life that we have on this planet, and that we can start to understand the most important things that we need to focus on and start to master those things, and therefore move toward a better life. That was a new thing, man. Wow. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's empowering. I mean, whether or not you agree with philosophies or this or that, that last part that you just said, just that last segment, I don't think anyone would argue that that's not an empowering belief. The universe is a knowable place. That is empowering.
Well, that's exactly right. So now all of a sudden I went from feeling no self-power. I was in this unexplainable universe that was this battle between good and evil. And again, you guys, I'm not dissing Christianity. Let me just say this. Missy was raised in a beautiful Christian home that taught that religion beautifully.
Good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not dissing Christianity. You got to understand, I came from a very, very difficult, shame-based, toxic environment.
Right.
Like, okay. So I had to let that go. I had to work through that and I had to let that go. And the philosophy that I discovered that allowed me to gain a little bit of self-empowerment was objectivist philosophy. Mm-hmm. Way too far extreme on the other side, you know, a very, very physical philosophy. But what that allowed me to do, Jordan, is, I mean, Lifebook came from my exploration into what are the most important areas of life that I have to master in order to have an extraordinary life that works at a high level in every important area. Objectively, I sought to master my physical existence. I didn't really have a spiritual belief. I didn't understand what spirituality even was. So for 25 years, I focused on making my life on this planet as good as I could possibly make it, making my love relationship with my amazing wife and my relationship with my amazing kids and the work that I wanted to do that made the world a better place and the money that I made that came from the value that I created for other people and my health and fitness and my emotional life. And it was all very physical, but looking back on it, there was a spiritual vibration to all of it. You understand that? Does that make sense to you?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And so basically I had my big nervous breakdown in the early 90s when I think I was 30 or 31 or so. I was your age, basically, JB. And, I basically had an anxiety disorder that crushed me for a while. And I started working my way out of that problem. And that's where Lifebook was born, because Lifebook was basically the first version of my Lifebook was these notes that I was taking from personal development programs that I was doing that were making me feel better and giving me great strategies to sort of move my life forward and get a grip on my emotions and on this crazy life that I was living.
Right.
And during that process, Missy suggested that we reach out to Dr. Nathaniel Brandon because I'd read a number of his books and they really helped me. She'd read a number of his books and they completely changed her life. He was the sort of guardian of the philosophy that of objectivism, which had really set me on this path. So we just reached out to him and asked if I could, you know, become a client of his. He was doing psychology at the time. So he took me on as a client and we started having weekly calls and basically we fell in love with each other, me and Nathaniel. I mean, after just a couple months, it was just clear that this guy was going to be a really important man in my life. And I was going to be a really important young man in his life. And so we started an incredible relationship. In the acknowledgments of the Lifebook program, I say about Nathaniel Brandon, that in taking Lifebook out to the world, I feel like I'm carrying his torch. That's how deeply he affected me and what kind of an impact he had on Lifebook. He was the only consultant that I used through the entire development of the actual product. I had my own Lifebook for over 10 years before I ever thought to share it with anybody. But when I decided to share it, he was really the only consultant that I had, he and his wife, Devers. Wow. So now let's get to the spiritual category.
Right.
So here I would have considered myself an atheist for sure then. And by the way, let me explain what that means because it's not devil worship or child eater. There's a lot of bad connotations with that word.
There's a lot of definitions of that word, I would say. So yeah, please, in your eyes, how would you have defined atheist at that time?
Well, the word technically means atheist means without God, without theology, theism, theist. And basically how I would have defined that is I've taken a look at all the world religions. I mean, I actually did my study. I did my research. I read the Quran. I read the Bible. I read these books. And I read the Book of Buddha from cover to cover. And my belief was none of these philosophies accurately, in my mind, 100% wholly describe what I would say is cosmology. So they're all incomplete. There's wisdom in all of them. This is what I would have said back then. There's wisdom in all of these books. There's great stories. There's great metaphors in all of these books, but they're all profoundly inadequate to describe cosmology and the entire human experience on their own. That's mm-hmm. what I would have said back then. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what Nathaniel would have said too. So here we are, you know, sort of working on the Lifebook program. I'm sending my scripts, getting his opinion, and we're going back and forth. We're having meetings and stuff like that. And I get to the spiritual category and I'm like, Nathaniel, what the hell are two atheists going to do with this category? How are we going to handle this, man? It's like we've either got to come up with a way to not piss anybody off or to at least piss everybody off equally. Like, what are we going to do? Right?
Oh, my God.
And here's what he said, Jordan. He said, John, you've read the books. You've done the study. Here's my recommendation. Why don't you do a little bit of thinking about what every single one of those wisdom systems has in common? Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hindu religion, Buddhism, etc. What do they all have in common? And if you can find some incredible commonalities, I guarantee we will believe in those commonalities, and you'll be able to put something out there that nobody will hate. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man. That is a great friggin' idea. And I'm actually interested and curious about that myself.
Wow.
So I started down that road and the four that I came up with, my spiritual premise, here's what all the great religions, and this is my opinion, you guys, this ain't written in stone. This isn't universal truth. This is my opinion. Here's what I discovered that all the great religions have in common. They all emphasize contribution. Trying to make the world a better place. Your job is to try to leave this place better than you found it. Every single one of them. Every single one of them emphasizes becoming the best person you can be. Self-actualization. Everyone. Every one of them emphasizes a feeling of connectedness, a feeling of oneness, a feeling of being benevolently connected to all that exists. And every single one of them emphasizes a feeling and experience of inner peace.
The four fundamental pillars of spirituality. We did a great exploration, members, by the way, if you dig into the library, deep into those four. And that concept has always fascinated me, man.
Right. Well, that's where it came from. It came from a study of comparative religions. That's where it came from. Wow. So that's what I put out there. But still, I never could get a complete grip on this category. It gave me fits for years. It gave me fits. It was like, what is this, man? It's like, okay, take a look at self-actualization. That's character. That lives in the character. Why did it have to be here? You know, it's like inner peace. That's emotion. Why does it have to be here? And it kept going that way, right? And so this has been a really tough category for me over the years. Missy and I had a pretty profound spiritual experience together about 5 years ago. And I sort of stepped into this new continent of spirituality. I'm still an infant, obviously. It's like an amazing thing at my age to have worked so hard on getting a grip on the physical world and really having a certain sense of life and a certain, you know, sense of the universe and my place in it. And then all of a sudden, 5 years ago, at the age of, I don't know how old, I was 55 or something, 54, discovering a whole new continent and now feeling like, oh my God, I've got something to explore for the rest of my life that's going to be so fascinating and so amazing. And during that sort of beginning with, you know, that exploration started about four, five years ago. Mm-hmm. And now I'm to the point where I discovered Sadhguru last year. And like I said, he's one of the only spiritual masters that just like everything he says, I understand. It's just like I resonate with his stuff. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal, Jordan. This is where the story gets really, really interesting.
The twist.
This is crazy. Nathaniel Brandon's last two nonfiction books were called Taking Responsibility and The Art of Living Consciously. Mm-hmm. Those were his two basic fundamental philosophical premises. The two philosophical premises that underlie Lifebook are living consciously and taking responsibility. Now, we don't talk about that much out in public. Here's why. This is a cute little story. When Nathaniel Brandon was finishing up the book, Taking Responsibility, which you guys, if you haven't read that, you should read it, at least the first half. It's incredible. And his publisher said, Nathaniel, don't name this book Taking Responsibility. No one's going to buy a book called Taking Responsibility. And he said, guys, listen, that's what this book is called. That's what this book is. So I'm going to name it that. Didn't sell any copies. And it was probably his best book. I mean, or definitely one of the top three, I'll tell you.
My gosh.
No one's interested in Taking Responsibility. That's not a good marketing thing. But one heck of a work. And then living consciously and Taking Responsibility are the two fundamental premises of Life Book. Living consciously means paying attention to what's happening in your life. You know, really being there, paying attention to what's working and what's not working and trying to do more of what's working and less of what's not working, et cetera. Taking responsibility means you understand that your life is yours. You own it. It's yours. It's nobody else's. You are the decision maker at the center of your own existence. If you have a desire to have a happy, successful, fulfilling life, it's up to you to figure out how to satisfy that desire. No one's coming to save you. No one's coming to make your life right. You've got to step up and take responsibility and make it happen. So this is what I got from Nathaniel. And in creating the Life Book program, I felt like I was carrying his torch. Flash forward how many years? 15? And here I am reading Sadhguru's new book, Inner Engineering, which is about two things. It's about living consciously and taking responsibility. Jeez. Here you have an atheist on one side, Nathaniel Brandon, and a total spiritual master on the other side saying exactly the same thing. And my head is coming off of my shoulders right now. It's like unbelievable. And I wish Nathaniel hadn't passed away in 2014 so that the three of us could actually have a conversation about this, because it's just unbelievable how those two could be on total opposite sides of the spectrum and be presenting and saying the exact same thing. Although there's a little bit of a twist. There's a slightly different angle to each of their philosophies of taking responsibility. You want to hear what it is?
Yeah, absolutely.
JB?
Because I think that it ties back to what you were saying before about what belongs in the spiritual category, but please go ahead.
Well, and I'm totally monopolizing this conversation, but this is kind of story.
No,
time,
this right? is story time, man. This is what we want. 100%.
So basically my life before before Miss and I really discovered spirituality, my life was about taking responsibility in the physical realm, responsibility for my relationships, responsibility for my family, responsibility for my business, responsibility for my health and fitness, taking responsibility for my life, being in the driver's seat, not the passenger seat, but it was all very, very physical. Sadhguru's approach is taking responsibility for your inner world. Mm-hmm. And that's the big difference. Now, obviously emotions and your intellect and your character, these things can sort of be seen as inner, but there's a big, big difference between their definition is the same, but their focus on where to focus your self-responsibility is a little bit different. So I'm going to read you just a couple quick things here from Sadhguru's book. He says, the quality of our lives is determined by our ability to respond to the varied, complex situations that we encounter. If the ability to respond with intelligence, competence, and sensitivity is compromised by a compulsive approach or by a reactive approach, then we're enslaved by the situation. It means we've allowed the nature of our life experience to be determined by our circumstances and not by us. Nathaniel Brandon, the atheist, would agree 100% with every word that guru just said.
Wow.
Right?
That particular guru just said, wow, man, that is,
exactly.
And I think that's a theme we see a lot, right? We talk about the guy on the left and the right and they argue, but if you actually get them in a room together and you talk about the things that's important to them, they agree on most issues. I think
that's really interesting. I think that makes you think, do we really need to be going through all the problems we're going through in the world right now?
And I think that exactly, that's this kind of universal truth in a world where truth is so hard to find. I think that is that universal truth. Have you explored other kind of philosophies that also hold that? I wonder which other ones are preaching things like that. I'm sure listeners will chime in, but maybe the things like the Stoics come to mind and that sort of thing.
Oh, I would absolutely say that. Oh my God, are you kidding me? The Marcus Aurelius quote, you're totally right about that. As a matter of fact, that's where I discovered this whole principle of Nathaniel helped me figure out that I've got to take responsibility for my outer world. I've got to take responsibility for my life. It's outward facing. But the Marcus Aurelius quote, if you're upset by something, it's not the thing itself that's upsetting you. It's how you're processing the thing. It's the meaning that you're attaching to the thing. And this, you have the power to revoke at any moment. It's on you. Sadhguru says there's only two types of pain in the world, physical pain and mental pain. And mental includes emotional in his system. If you've got physical pain, if someone's stabbing you with a knife, that's one situation that you got to handle in one way. But if you've got mental, internal pain, that's on you. And that's friggin' hard to accept. You know, if you really totally get yourself to understand what that means and totally accept it, it changes your life. Mm-hmm. But I never had a tool. I never had a tool to get there. I understood it, but it was still so hard for me during those times when I was making myself suffer to pull myself out of that state. And I'll tell you, Nathaniel never really gave many tools in that area either. That's Sadhguru's domain. Let me read a couple more quick things, JB.
Please.
So I'm going to read you the Sadhguru's definition of the word responsibility. Responsibility simply means your ability to respond. If you decide I am responsible, you will have the ability to respond. If you decide I am not responsible, you will not have the ability to respond. Wow. It's as simple as that. All it requires is for you to realize that you are responsible for all that you are and all that you are not. All that may happen to you and all that may not happen to you. Now, this is where the two philosophies deviated. Basically, what Sadhguru is saying is you have the ability to respond to anything. You don't have the ability to act on everything, but you have the you have the ability to respond to the moon. You have the ability to respond to a situation going on over in China. You have the ability to respond to something that you're seeing on the street, even if it's feeling compassion. Or just, you know, his definition is a little bit broader than Nathaniel's when it comes to what you can respond to. He makes a distinction between your ability to respond, which you always have in every situation, wow, and your ability to act, which you don't always have in every situation.
Right.
Now, there's one more thing I want to read you, and here's what it is. Responsibility and action belong to different dimensions. The ability to respond gives you the freedom to act. It also gives you the freedom not to act. It puts you in the driver's seat of your life. It empowers you to decide the nature and the volume of the action that you want to undertake. Responsibility is not compulsive action. It offers you the choice of action. Nathaniel would agree with that. I know he would.
Wow, man.
I know he'd agree with that. So anyway, I'm just freaking out right now, you guys, because my two mentors, I consider Sadhguru my mentor, my spiritual mentor, even though I haven't met him yet. And Nathaniel Brandon, who's a friggin' atheist on the other side of the, you know, completely other side of the philosophical spectrum. And their life mission is the same. And their message is the same. And their focus is the same with very little variation. And I'm freaking out right now.
Well, that's also your life mission and the mission of every life booker, no matter what their spiritual wow, category looks like. That is, when you boil it down far enough, when you break down the chemistry of the meaning of life down to its basic elements, that is what you get, are those two concepts.
Good call. We've been given the ability to be conscious. That's our primary friggin' tool, right? And to pay attention to what's happening to our lives and to make distinctions. And we've also been given the ability to take charge, to be the decision maker at the center of our own existence, which is taking responsibility. And now I've got a new tool that I'm exploring. I've become an expert at taking responsibility of my external circumstances. 25 hard years of focus on that.
Wow.
And really, you know, focusing on mastering the most important areas of life. Now I'm just now starting down the road of learning to take responsibility for something much more vast. And frankly, something is, you know, that's a little bit more intimidating, which is my inner world.
Yeah. Your soul, and, man. Your soul. That is the utmost important matter. It truly is.
I gotta tell you, JB, I'm just so grateful to, at my age, after everything I've done and everything I've seen, and you know, just this incredible life that I've had. So many people at my age could be ready to be just like, you know, okay, that was an unbelievable ride. Going to kick my feet up and watch the ocean, throw a fishing line in there. And no. I've discovered a new continent. I've put my toe in an ocean that I am going to be able to explore for the rest of my life. And I just couldn't be more grateful.
That's incredible, man. It really is. And maybe I'll wrap it up by tying into a life note we had here, because I think this idea, these two main principles that this is based on, the life note Tao Te Ching, it argues, the Book of the Way argues that if you simply follow the way of the universe, you are acting spiritually. It doesn't matter your religion or your beliefs or anything. You either go with the Tao and you are a spiritual man, or you don't and you go against it. And I think that living consciously is going with the Tao.
Yes, that's 100% right. And isn't it interesting that same philosophy could have sort of emerged out of atheism and deep spirituality? And that's because you can't, nothing will work if it's disconnected from the facts of reality or from that energetic flow that you just said, the flow of the Tao. It just ain't going to work. It's going to be a train wreck. And I discovered something early on, even though I wasn't spiritual at the time, I discovered something early on that was an incredible mechanism to help me get a grip on my life and move it in the direction that I wanted it to go. Living consciously, paying attention to what's happening in my life, really asking myself deep questions, and taking responsibility to make my life the way that I wanted it. That's in line with the Tao. And now that's being validated on a whole different dimension in my life. So life bookers, I got it. You know, I'm on this journey right alongside you. Like one of the things I love about this community is I know that I've done some amazing things in my life, and I'm grateful that this beautiful tool came through me and I was able to share it. But I'm not one of those personal development people that think I've arrived and want to sit there on a friggin' soapbox, tell you how great I am and how amazing my ideas are. And if you take my ideas into your life, they're going to make your life great.
John Guru.
I'm on this journey right alongside you, man. I'm in a growth spurt right now that is, there's only been a few times in my life where it's been this intense. So, and I also have to say, you guys, I'm super grateful to have a community to share this with. Are you kidding me? It's like such a good outlet for me. And I learn more when I talk about it. And I know that it helps people. So that that makes me happy too. So
oh man,
just super grateful right now.
I love it. I love that expression of gratitude. And I know the life bookers who are listening are reflecting it right back. I appreciate everyone listening to this podcast, everyone in the community, everyone walking this path that we're walking. Thank you, man. This podcast was just fantastic. I appreciate it.
Really loved it. Thanks so much, JB. Love you, life bookers.
Everybody listening, we'll see you next time as we explore the rest of the 12 categories. This is John Butcher and Jordan River Butcher signing off, saying have an extraordinary day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.